Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 453, Alita, Battle Angel.
Not to be confused with Battle Angel Alita.
Is it? Damn it.
No, that's what the comic was called.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
right.
I did get it right. But they did the what do you call that?
Is it anime?
Well, manga? It's not an anime. Is it a manga?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's like, because, you know, there's different, you know, it's not a comic book,
right.
But it's
a comic book.
Okay.
It's a comic book. Yeah.
Okay. I just don't know.
Here's the, I get pissed
off. Unless you're going to read it right to left, it's a comic
right.
book.
I get pissed off when they call it, when they call regular comic. No. This is a graphic novel.
Isn't that what Watchmen is?
No. It's a comic book.
They call it a graphic?
Hang on. No.
Okay.
Watchmen is a comic book. It was released in 12 issues.
That's
right.
It exactly,
and that makes it a comic book. Now, if you want to go and look at like a Will Eisner book, like Dropsy right. Street or something like that's a graphic novel.
Asterius Polyp,
because
like
it
those are...
only ever existed in one cohesive
right.
volume. So, a graphic novel of Watchmen is just a collection
of comic book
yes. issues.
Yes,
boom.
So. Eat it.
It's a comic book.
Suck a fart. It's a comic book.
Anything that was released in single issue form is a comic book.
Right.
There you go.
Yes.
So using that logic, Tale of Two Cities, comic book.
Right. I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's no art, but.
That's true.
You know, art drawings. It's
there's
art.
There's
yeah. art involved in Tale of Two Cities.
Right.
But, the Christmas story, a comic book.
Yeah. But no, I mean, most of that Dickens stuff was released.
They had like illustrations inside.
No,
book.
No. It was released. Like he wrote, they would print a chapter at a time in publications.
Man, that's kind of brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's where he made all his money.
Right.
It's also why those books were so damn long.
He's like, I gotta keep going.
He's like, oh, no reason to wrap this up.
Yeah.
And then when they saw sales start to drop, he's like, Oliver found his parents. Thanks.
A Christmas Carol was a book, though.
Yeah,
he released that all in one.
You couldn't serialize that. It's like 110 pages long. Like
plus here's two pages.
You can't serialize a Christmas story. Like, who wants to read right. chapter 6 in June? Like, that's it wouldn't work. That's just, you know. I mean, you still gotta.
Well, you get
know,
a chapter
I know it's
month
the,
up until Christmas.
I know it's
12
the,
chapters.
It's the 1800s, but you still gotta put a little bit of a marketing
right.
spin on that. You know, you gotta be careful. But I shouldn't say all of his stuff, but a good chunk of his
that.
Stuff was. Was like released a chapter at a time, and you had to come back every month. And
that's the way to do it.
He basically invented Netflix. No,
that's
true.
Binging.
That's binging.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
But he did invent Christmas. That's the weird thing. Like,
yeah.
there's a movie with the guy from Legion, Dan Stevens.
Yeah,
and he plays Charles Dickens, and it's all about how like Christmas wasn't even a deal until A Christmas Carol came out.
Huh.
It sold out. Like, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't think I'm spoiling it. Like,
no.
It came out, but like it was under hard deadline. And he had writer's block, and eventually he, you know, and this is like a fictionalized version of events, but like it's a really good movie. I liked it. But it shows you like how much importance was placed. Like this book came out, sold out, then everyone wanted Christmas trees and
Christmas gooses.
Yeah, like it was he made it a thing by writing that's that funny. Book. Like,
and that's why there's so much kind of Victorian England Christmassy stuff.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
You know.
Yeah, that is kind of I would think that's more well, I feel like New York
there's a lot of that too.
Is very synonymous with Christmas. But yeah. But definitely the Victorian area.
I feel like New York in the late 40s.
I was going
to,
yeah.
Is very, that's yep. To me, like, I always told Crystal, she's like, if you go to any time in the world, when I'd be like, New York, Christmas time, like 1949.
That's so funny. I think like.
Post-World War II.
Yep.
You know.
L.A. Post-World War II.
Yeah.
That's where I'd want to, like Hollywood is yeah. where I'd want to be.
Oh, that'd be cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're all whacked out of their head. Well, yeah. I mean, like, you look
yeah,
at
nobody in New York was whacked.
Well,
out
I mean,
of their
but
head.
Like, then you had like the Hollywood, you know, you had it was Hollywood in, you know,
classic Hollywood,
classic, exactly. Yeah. Well, not like classic Hollywood.
No, you'd still 40, like late 40s.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah,
that's yeah, I guess you're the right. Height of you're right in the heyday of
yeah, that's the height of Jimmy Stewart, yeah. Humphrey Bogart, and John
Cary Grant,
Wayne,
all that
Cary
stuff.
Grant.
Yeah, that's where I'd want to be. I want to be. I'd want to be a detective.
Yeah,
that's what I want to do.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
Just go play L.A. Noire.
You want to
I
L.A. Noire.
I mean, I got to tell you, like halfway through the game, I was like, this is what I was supposed to do.
Maybe you're reincarnated. Maybe that was you.
I don't know, man. I like L.A. Confidential. Like all that stuff, is my jam. That is good stuff.
Is your wife like, stop calling my legs gams?
don't call me a dame.
So shameless plugs before we dig in. Since there's no box office this week, your shameless plugging made it to a movie episode.
Woohoo!
Congratulations.
Yeah, good job.
The pinnacle of success.
Yes, that's
right below being the podcaster is.
Yes, it's and it's not as much of a drop off as you might think.
Yeah, no, right below being the podcaster. Right below, when I said that, it was a very small.
Yes, a sliver, if you will. So, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, where you can go rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously, which is why we whore out for it every single week. So, if you haven't done it yet, we would greatly appreciate it if you take a small little sliver. There's that
it's
word
not,
again.
Not long.
Of time yeah. out of your day.
Joe's going to stand outside your window. Please, sir, may
I'm
I have another
like,
review?
I'm going to have a boom box over my head.
And we no, also.
Wait, we want them to review it.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, just it's been so long. We have to do the opposite.
Instead
thing.
Of playing whatever song he's playing, In These Eyes.
In Your Eyes in your by eyes. Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, I'm going to be real spoilers. So I'm just, hey, don't forget.
So, and we had a real nice Facebook message from. But I think as a new listener, we hadn't heard from him previously,
yeah.
So I'm going to knight him a new listener. So if you've been listening for years, I apologize.
Yeah.
Do we need
but
to add,
if you've been
like,
listening for years, you kind of know how we are.
Right.
Do we need to add like a little disclaimer, like this title is not official and will not grant you any lands or access to
we don't have
privileges.
Any
to,
yeah,
we don't have
they think,
any
to, if they think we have that kind of stuff,
yeah, go
great.
For it. Yeah, yeah, walk into your local Quick Trip and be like, somebody owes me a Rooster energy drink. I was knighted by Real Spoilers.
I did own a castle for 10 minutes.
Okay, that's not something you can
like
say and not
like,
follow
like
up
season
on.
Season
2? No, what's the game with the cards? Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah.
They usually do promotions every Christmas or every holiday season, and they always do stunts. It's a good publicity stunt. And so if you spent a certain amount of money, they would like mail you different gifts and things and different letters. And like one of the perks one year was that you would be the like master of the castle, or like you would be the king of this small piece of land that they bought over in England or wherever it was. And so you got to be whoever signed up in order. Every 10 minutes it would rotate who is the king of this land. You were officially the lord of this.
So could you like sell it if you had enough time?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've got 10 minutes. I got to move it now.
Minutes. No one planned it out well enough. But like you got to make decrees. There were 3 decrees and they were official for that 10 minutes of this place. I mean, it's not like we were in charge
did you,
of.
Did you raise taxes?
That's what I'd have done.
I don't know. I should have told them to listen to Real Spoilers, but I forgot.
Nice.
All my subjects. But anyway.
Great. So anyway, this guy,
yes,
he's sitting here where he's like, remember when you guys were talking about me?
Yeah,
what happened
well,
there?
Also, you well, listened to the show, so yeah. You know these were coming.
You Touché. Were a part of a tangent about owning a castle. That's like another
that's
one of those.
Better than having been knighted.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, and I'm doing my best here with the name. It's one of those.
Yeah, I got
one
you.
Of those hard names.
Right.
Yeah. Just to be clear.
It's John Smith.
Yeah, yeah. When I use a pronoun. Let me be sure that the illustrated. I didn't mean the pronoun offensively. Just been it falls into a name that's gonna be difficult. I think I got it though. Utkarsh Tiwari.
I mean, I feel
there
like
you go.
Sure.
I'm looking at him like I don't think there's a lot of other ways to say it. So
well, at least he said if you screw it up, it's no big deal.
Totally.
Not a lot of pressure, but we yeah. appreciate it.
So but no, he sends us a real nice message on Facebook. Which I will read to you now.
Ooh.
It goes thusly. Hey, guys, I truly love your podcast, and sometimes I watch movies just so I can listen to you guys discuss it. So
you're welcome, Hollywood
we
industry.
A full accounting of those films so we can reach out and have them send us our cut.
That's right.
It's really fun and awesome the way you guys talk about movies, and it's one of my favorite things to do. And I want you guys to know that listening to you guys talk helps me a lot with being alone most of the time, and I know there are a lot of other people who feel the same things. I'm sorry if this message was too long, which was like...
Nope.
I mean, we've done episodes that were like 2 hours, yeah. So your 75-word message, I don't think we can... We don't have the right to call you out on that.
No,
it took
absolutely
less
not.
Time to read it than for us to preface it or...
Right. Yeah. So I'm sorry if this message is too long, but I hope you guys know and understand how much your podcast helps people with their loneliness. So sorry again for the long message. Again, no reason to apologize.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Yeah.
Wow,
no,
that might
absolutely
be
that's
the nicest
that's...
message we've ever received. No offense to all other messages, but
yeah,
like
but I, very... yeah, I mean, yeah, we don't mean to on the other messages, but you suck.
No, that was yeah. very kind.
You need to up the game.
Right. Yeah, like, you saw what this guy did.
Yeah.
And come on.
Yeah, you need to bring the heat.
Right.
Now no one
suck
will ever send us a message again.
I mean, all right.
They'll be like, I can't now. I'm, yeah. I failed. So thank you very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, no, thank you. So that's thank you for reaching out. That's fantastic.
Yeah. yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And then while we're doing shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, you can join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join this week, Ralph Tribble, Musings of a Cosplay Witch, Griffin Fox Smith, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Tammy Sherman Powers, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Chris Sanders, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Brent Smith, Julianne Jordan, Jason Reese, Jason Weesey, Tom Comiskey, Ron Johnson, Richard Lawson, and Chris James. So if you would like to join the League of Show Sharers, it's very simple. You just go to our Facebook page and share the most recent episode and try to have your privacy settings set in such a way that I can see it. That's the easiest way to achieve that. And of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and things of that nature.
I think we know what we're doing this week.
We do. Yeah. We had a listener suggestion that kind of lined up with what's going on right now. So stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So there is all that. I guess we can now dive into Alita Battle Angel Alita.
So, okay, first things first, this is an anime. It's a manga. There's an anime cartoon.
Is there? I don't know.
I think there is. But if you have the Comixology like monthly membership, they give you a bunch of free comics. Okay. Like they have just it's a plethora of stuff.
Yeah.
The first I guess you would call it a trade is available for free if you do like a free month.
Oh, nice.
So like it's a digital comic, but I don't know how digital comics work on like an e-reader.
What do you mean?
Well, because
it's just a giant picture. And
no,
you look at
because
it.
Manga you read backwards.
I'm sure it knows.
Yeah,
how.
But when they print it in the American version, they flip it, don't they?
No, like those show Jump books.
Yeah,
were all backwards.
Oh, I guess whenever I don't really do them.
I really don't. I don't. I do digital stuff for sure.
Yeah,
but I've never done.
I've never really read much manga, and the ones I have read have, I guess,
like Akira. I guess
the
is.
Americanized versions,
right, right.
And so they did them the way
that's
God
true.
Meant it to be.
Yeah, right. But I remember selling those show and like those big.
Yeah.
Like collections, and they were backwards.
Yeah.
Our version of backwards, not... You know.
I just thought that they really like spoilers.
Just get it out of the way right
yeah.
now.
That's how some people
yeah.
read books,
yeah,
right?
Totally. Just
yeah.
read the last
like,
page first.
Like Billy Crystal and When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
Read the last page first, gets to die.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm looking in my due diligence, you know, got to do my show prep. I've done a lot of research before this episode.
You know,
and he's doing it right now.
You know, show prep.
Yeah,
is the key word.
It stands for preparatory.
Right now, you're just looking at the internet.
So I'm looking it up, and I had never heard of this before it was turned into a feature film and promoted. I didn't know about the manga. I didn't know about if there was an anime before.
Is it
that.
Manga or manga?
It's both.
I've always heard it manga, and then I thought maybe like you know they try to class things up sometimes.
I do.
Like in the when the Anita Hill thing started, it suddenly became sexual harassment.
Yeah, that was weird.
And I'm like, why are you trying to class up grabbing a chick?
Heroin. Or what's the other one that we used to get in the courts all the time? Heron. That was the other one. Like, you know, it's heroin.
Did he snort a bird?
Yeah, it's heroin. Yeah. It's not heron.
Heron? Yeah.
Like, that's the official way. I think most people read it like it looks, and they say manga.
Yeah. It's both.
But anyway, so I didn't know anything about it before this movie was marketed to be released as a film. But it apparently on, I won't say my sources, I want to protect my sources, but I'm finding out in my research there was a 2-episode OVA, which stands for, what is it, an original video adaptation? Original video animation in 1993, and then it looks like after that there was a 3-minute CGI rendered movie clip included in a complete edition.
It's Gundam, which is like another pretty popular anime.
I thought that was what Alita was.
Oh, Whoop'em Gundam style?
That's right.
Oh, yeah, it's Gundam.
Gundam. Yeah, yeah. No, this, I guess in Japan, it was known as Gundam. Or
Gundream.
Yeah. So,
that's
anyway.
So weird.
We're obviously not very familiar with the source material.
I knew that it was a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I knew that there was...
Yeah. So, anyway, apparently, James Cameron's been wanting to make this movie for a long time, and Robert Rodriguez...
Movie he makes is a long time.
Also, I feel like this is a little too far-fetched for James Cameron.
Yeah, that's why he's like, you know, Robert Rodriguez, yeah. You take this and run with
what
it.
What an idiot. Like, when he said that about Aquaman, he's like, no, I would never make Aquaman. It wasn't realistic enough. It's like, you know, you're...
I'm going to make this blue alien
like, you know, you're
flying.
Making, right, exactly. About a made-up world and
unobtainium. It's so frustrating. And, like, I do agree. Like, I read all the quotes and stuff. So, like, you know, I'm not one to just share things without reading. I read the interview, and I get that for clickbait purposes, people try to take it out of context and make it like he was really being a jerk off. Like... He said that it was fun and he enjoyed it, but then he still dove into this whole, like, it's not realistic thing, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, comic book movie. Like,
right.
It doesn't have
You know
to
you
be.
Made a movie about a killer robot, right?
Yeah. It's okay. Anyway, so that was just bizarre. So this thing was in development for a long time, and apparently his work on Avatar and the 38 sequels delayed it and everything, but finally... It is here, and I don't know anything about it.
Interesting.
Other
38 sequels. Did they pare it back some?
Yeah, exactly.
It says that it was inspired, like Dark Angel was inspired by this.
Huh.
And that's that was that Jessica Alba? Not just, which one's married to Justin Timberlake?
Beale.
Okay, so it's Alba. That was that show on Fox that was...
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Where she's like hooker?
No.
What was the one where she was a hooker? Oh, that was with... the chick from the Terminator TV show.
Summer Glau?
There we go.
What was that?
It was like, I don't know, she was like a robot hooker or an assassin hooker. Or...
What? I need to know the name of the show.
I don't know.
But
this
is a show. I'm robot? Not saying it's Summer Glau, also the voice of Supergirl at one point.
Yeah, there you go.
Dark Angel is the show that Lita broke her neck on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was doing a stunt and it went wrong and she broke her neck. And then she was out of wrestling. Wrestling corner.
And Lena Headey was in
Lena
the
Headley,
Terminator.
Lena Headey played Sarah Connor.
TV show.
Yeah.
And Game of Thrones is coming back soon. So, hey.
Wow. That Yep. You did it. yeah. So, it's just like Robert Rodriguez is such an interesting director at this point.
Very interesting.
Because he hasn't done anything of note since that second Sin City. Like, he hasn't directed anything since Sin City.
Dollhouse.
Oh. Is that Summer Glau? Or is that... Elijah Dushku.
Oh, no, I don't
that's
know.
Elijah Dushku.
Yeah, that's yeah.
That's a Joss Whedon thing, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Summer Glau was on Dollhouse. Too.
Okay. But it was also
and
Elijah
that
Dushku.
Is what
but,
it,
but Elijah Dushku
was the main,
was the main character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a JJ thing or Joss Whedon?
Joss Whedon. Come on, it's okay. It's hot chicks being hookers.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
it's Joss Whedon.
Fair enough.
It's got Joss Whedon written all over it.
Is he still scandalized? What happened there?
I mean,
people just kind of like...
I feel like he scandal... I mean, he had the scandal first... And then he did Justice League, and then it was just like, bye.
Yeah.
Because then he was going to do Batgirl.
They were like, oh, we don't
Batgirl.
Know what to do. You have this scandal and you make money. Oh, you don't make money anymore? It got a lot easier. We're offended. We're not going to do this.
No, we're not going to do it.
But he was, I don't remember, was he rapey or he was just a hypocrite?
No, I think he cheated on his wife.
Yeah, and he would go on about how great his wife was.
Right, the whole time.
He was like finger banging extras or something.
But I mean, like, it wasn't like a power dynamic. It was just...
But don't they say it's always a power dynamic? That's the whole problem with this Hollywood thing, was that if you're in a position of power, people feel like they can't tell you no because it might affect their career.
There has been nothing that has been that he forced himself onto a woman, from what I understand.
Right, but a lot of them are getting in trouble not for that. The power dynamic is
the ones
the
that are getting in trouble are the ones that are fudge and scumbags.
For sure, but you still can't... They're saying you should know better.
And we should say it's not just women.
Well, and it sounded like
it's not just forcing yourself on women.
He was pretty
mean
to his wife, if memory serves.
Okay.
Like, he did a lot of pretty crappy things beyond just cheating on her.
Sure.
Like, he was... It's been a while.
It's been
either way, Robert, they need a trading card set
of like Hollywood predators, because I can't keep track of them.
You get rookie cards. It's a whole new thing.
Totally.
You get
but
new
they can't
sets.
Sell them because we don't want to buy them. They have to like give them or pay you to take them, and then you
maybe
can
like all the money could go to Rain or something.
There it is. See,
yeah.
So Robert Rodriguez. Has nothing to do with these people we're talking about.
But like,
it's
so,
a good thing he doesn't listen.
That's true.
He'd be like,
he might at this point. He might.
Yeah, it's gone long enough that statistically speaking, it might have occurred.
So El Mariachi, Desperado, Four Rooms, which I think is, I love that movie,
one of the four. Yeah.
Was he a producer though, wasn't he?
But
he did One Room.
He did the room where the body was buried in the bed.
Yes.
The kids find it.
No, he find, oh, you're right. Yeah. And then,
yeah.
Yeah. Tim Roth.
Then, like, they
there.
Leave the kids in the room
right,
while, they,
right,
while the
right,
parents
right.
go out to a some
yes.
glamorous party.
I like that movie
From
a lot.
Dusk Till Dawn.
I didn't like that movie, but I liked that scene.
Yeah. I love From Dusk Till Dawn. The Faculty is great. This is, those next three are the ones that I think helped with this movie.
Yeah.
Right? So it's Spy Kids, Spy Kids 2, Spy Kids 3.
Helped him probably buy a summer home, too.
That's true. And The Adventures of Sharkboy and Lava Girl. So he learned how to work with 3D on a small budget and make it work.
But he was doing Red Blue 3D.
He was. But I feel like even getting your
it's
foot into that technology,
yeah, that
you,
way.
You still need to like stage the shot. Yeah.
Right.
And,
right.
You know. It was like that. He's doing the same 3D the Three Stooges did.
Right. That was before it became. And I saw this in 3D because it was the only one that worked at the right time.
I saw it in 3D. Thought yeah. it looked great in 3D.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though.
I mean, this is
so,
made
like, he
for
gets
3D.
It. He gets how to make 3D.
I mean, I'm not a fan of 3D at all. And
no.
it was the only one that worked with my time schedule. And I looked at it. I'm like, wow, this is great.
It was
3D.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. It's almost like someone that knows 3D produced this movie.
Weird, right? Right. So then, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, which I gotta tell you, kind of underrated. I enjoy that movie. It's the sequel
fine.
To Desperado.
Yeah.
Sin City, which is amazing. Grindhouse. He did.
I mean, Sin City was his last big thing.
I feel like Grindhouse.
I mean, Sin City was his last phenomenal.
I mean, look, Grindhouse made $25 million.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Sin City was his last big thing.
Yeah.
He's done little
and
things.
And it was huge.
It was, that's 2005. Here
right.
we are almost in 2020.
And
we're
he's done a lot. There's a lot of producing stuff.
Yeah.
Like
sure.
he's been, he has his own TV network. So those kids' movies, I think, were very, looking back on it now, were very important to Alita. So this is obviously based on an anime. Or manga, either one. Christoph Waltz plays a doctor,
I think people started saying manga because manga sounded too much like MAGA.
Yes, well, that's true.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful. Yeah.
When they eat a mango inside of a manga, though.
While wearing their MAGA hat.
And it's about Mongo from Blazing Saddles. It gets really confusing.
I was thinking about, what was the Chris Kattan character on SNL, the little...
Oh, the monkey that ran around?
Yeah, what was his name?
Mango.
Yeah, okay. I will say this movie is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, it's an amazing looking movie.
Do we know, did he film this in his basement or did he go to a real studio for this one?
So is he back in the Director's Guild? Because he like left the director.
I mean, I feel like
if he's
directing this, I feel like he kind of has to be, right?
That was my thought too. I just didn't know what that meant.
I mean, he's the director on it.
It's interesting that Sin City is just called Sin City, but the second one is called Frank Miller Sin City. A Dame to Kill For.
I think it's probably
Miller wasn't a name until Sin City.
That is
not
true.
To
not
the,
to the general
not
public.
Outside of the world of people who love graphic novels.
Yeah. You son of a bitch. And I'm trying to think, did they release those as single issues? They did.
They did.
Sin City, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So the whole movie opens up with Christoph Waltz's character kind of walking through. They give you no backstory immediately, which I appreciate.
But don't worry, because plenty of backstory is coming.
There's
a lot. Every time there isn't movement on screen, they're going to be reading the plot points to you from their goddamn Wikipedia page. In case you couldn't tell, this movie was a snooze fest.
I enjoyed it.
I loved this movie.
Ugh.
But it was definitely like, okay, let's get to the next action beat.
I thought every scene almost was an action beat to me. I was so into this movie. I was beyond entertained.
Yeah, I definitely, like, I was entertained.
I was in it.
I was beyond it too.
Did anyone, before they went into the movie, think, like, did Christoph Waltz land this role because he was in the movie Big Eyes?
No, like, I never saw Big Eye. Yeah. So,
but it's like Tim Burton's movie about the painter who drew Big Eye paintings, and it was really Amy Adams.
Yeah,
and he pretends to be the painter,
right?
Which is it's a good story.
Yeah,
the movie's
based on
not
a real
like,
story, right?
Yeah, it is. Like, the movie's not like amazing, but if you don't know the story, then it's a good movie.
Okay,
so I found it interesting that he was the alleged painter, or the one, you know, dealing with these paintings of these big-eyed characters. And in this movie has drawn so much, I mean, I wouldn't say controversy, but so much skepticism, because people are like, oh, I don't like it, big eyes.
Right.
And I'm like, how weird is it that he's in this? I just find that an odd,
I will
like,
say,
what are the chances of that being coincidence?
I don't know why they did that to her.
I
could understand it if everybody looked like that. Like, if you're trying to capture the manga look.
Right, because if everyone has it, then okay, it's the style.
But for whatever reason, there are other androids in this movie who don't have this look.
Everyone does not.
Nobody
have
does,
look,
except
right?
for her.
Yeah,
like, she's
her,
the only
do her,
one.
But do her other, in the flashbacks, though, they kind of had the same look,
they
right?
did. They did. Like, the army
crew,
people?
Yeah.
Yeah,
her,
well,
whatever,
the one person that we
people.
Ever saw.
Yeah,
yeah. Did have, like, the big eyes.
So I read about this, and there's a good article. I'll try to find it and post it if I can remember this. I'll make myself a note here. But there's a really good article that came out before the movie was released. And so this was all based on the trailer. No one had seen it yet. They weren't trying to criticize the film, but they were saying it looks like Robert Rodriguez doesn't understand this movie or the original material, because he's like, they gave her these huge eyes, but the reason why she had that eye has to do with the style of the manga and the culture and anime. And they go back, and it's a well-written article, and they talk about it, but they're like, this movie has no reason to give her the big eyes.
Right.
On paper, I mean, he can have his own reasons, obviously, for doing it, but it seems more like he just copied that without...
He has a retina fetish.
Yeah.
But it seems like the article made it more like he just did it because it looked like that in the manga.
Hornia,
like,
more like hornia.
Ew.
But I feel bad for this movie because, I mean...
It got hammered.
It has a huge, huge budget, like $180
million,
$170 million alone. I feel bad for it because, again, I think it's a really entertaining movie. To me... This is the new Speed Racer. Like, when I was watching this movie in the theater, I'm like, this is what it felt like to be watching Speed Racer and an anime or manga converted to the big screen. And people are going to be like, ugh, I'm like, not touch it, even though it's a really good.
I had a similar, when I saw you post that, I was like, I thought in my head while I was watching it, I was like, this is kind
I'm like,
of
I'm
like,
I'm watching Speed Racer again.
Yeah, but Speed Racer was on a different level. And I don't like, because I think the Wachowskis are not good directors. Like, I don't know what has happened between the Matrix.
They weren't then, or they aren't now?
They aren't now.
Okay.
They were. Matrix is amazing. Like, that first one is on in a league of its own. Everything else after
they directed A League of Its Own?
They did, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
They
can really adapt to different styles.
They're very good at that, yeah. But like,
Jupiter Ascending was actually the remake of A League of Its
Own. Somebody did compare that to this, and I was like, look. You obviously did not see Jupiter's Ascending.
No, I would watch this 1,000 times before I
And this is better
it.
Than Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, I think so.
Easily.
But my main point I'm trying to get to is that, you know, this had a $170 million budget. I think it's a really entertaining, kick-ass action movie, really good 3D, really good CG. But people are not going to go see it because, one, I think there's still that stigma. I think manga and anime is kind of like Star Trek versus Star Wars. I think it's still not as cool or accepted by the mainstream.
I can see that.
And two, I think he did a complete disservice by giving her the big eyes.
Yeah,
because most anyone's complaint that the people that haven't seen it, that are like, you know, that's weird, are she has way too big eyes.
She's creepy AF.
It's creepy AF. It's a total Uncanny Valley type thing because it's not physical. She's all CG motion capture, right?
Yeah.
So when you give someone that has a very human looking face with very human movements because they are made by a human in motion capture, but those huge eyes, it just doesn't look right. And so if I told Brad, who reviewed this on Review STL, and he really liked the movie, I told him, I don't think if I didn't have to see this, I don't think I would have gone, because it weirded me out. I'm like, I just don't like it.
I would not have seen this.
No.
I would not have.
No, I would not have. No way.
No way. But I know that you guys are in a little different boat, and maybe Tom more so than Joe, but like, I'm glad I saw it and I really enjoyed it. So I think he did a total disservice by staying with those big eyes, because that alone is turning off so many people from seeing, because they're like, that's weird. I don't want to.
So this is the thing that I struggle with when comic books and manga and things like that get transferred from the page to the screen, is
some things work on the page.
Well, it's not even just that, but like, there are certain projects that I think the creative team behind the film version needs to have a passion for it. And I don't think James Cameron, and I don't know about Robert Rodriguez. I don't know if he was a gun for hire for this, or if this was, if he wanted to do this, or Cameron was like, you know, let's pay him $20 million. We'll have to have him do.
There's no way Robert Rodriguez. No. But I mean, $20 million.
But I mean, like, you know, I feel like Cameron looked at his past history. Sure. He's like, the guy gets it. Like,
he's got these tools in his.
He knows how to work the 3D. Let's just hire him.
Right.
I mean, Sin City is his calling card for this. He adapted a comic to real life.
I think a combination of Sin City and the Spy Kids movies.
Yeah,
for the 3D and stuff. Sure, totally. Sure. I just mean though, like.
Working with straight up green screens.
Yeah. That's tough. I mean, people don't give the guys that work on these green screens enough credit, and it's tough. And a lot of times it fails.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it and everything. But to work on a green screen and to have that vision, for the director to have a complete vision when you've got people in front of a big screen of one color.
Right.
I mean, it takes a whole another level of director. And so like,
an actor, like, to be able to,
oh,
yeah.
Totally. But just from the director's perspective, sure, you know, like, sure, you got to give these guys credit. So like, the fact that they can, first of all, just do it and even make a film and finish it, but then to come with something as competent as this visual wise, like, this is a lot going on.
Right.
I think Ready Player One's the same thing with Spielberg.
I would,
like,
agree.
That's a guy that, I mean, because this reminded me, just because of, like, in the beginning, I'm like, are we in the Stacks? Like, it looked a lot like the desolate Ready Player One, you know?
Right.
But that movie is almost...
But then it got interesting, and you were like, oh.
but that movie has the pop culture to keep you interested. Totally. This is a world of its own.
Oh, man, that Shining scene.
But so good. But it's like, to be able to create a world like this and have it all be CG and look as amazing as it did, like...
Well, it's also what I don't think that the common person understands is the detail that goes... When these artists are drawing the manga or the manga, whatever, like, they, the detail that goes into those drawings are next level. Like, it's, you see American comic books, and there are some guys that, like, just Sean Murphy's a great example of a guy who pours over backgrounds and details. And like, if you ever see him draw the Batmobile, like, you can see like the exhaust vents, and you know, he's takes, you know what I'm saying? In a lot of the manga that I've read, like, it's, and granted, it's like Akira and the Guyver and, you know, think, Ghost
the
in the
really
Shell.
Well known stuff.
Yeah, like, I'm not well versed.
Done a deep dive.
No, you basically read the basic bitch.
I have
manga.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, the stuff that I'm supposed to read.
Starbucks manga.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Akira was a slog. Like, there's a lot to Akira.
I love that anime.
Oh yeah, it's great. But like, if you look at the backgrounds, they're super highly detailed, and so to capture that look, and I feel like they did capture that look to this world.
Yeah.
Is impressive. Like, it's an impressive feat. So Christoph Waltz is kind of trolling through like a pit, not
he's
a pit,
a junkyard.
But a junkyard.
He's in a dumping grounds of,
and then just looking for bits and pieces, and he stumbles across like a torso and a head of an android.
Yeah.
So he picks it up and kind of takes it back with him, and he's running diagnostics on it, and it turns out that this thing, the body itself, is all mangled and messed up, but the brain
mangled.
Ooh. Yes, it's trademarked for Russ Willis.
I don't want to trademark that.
Yeah, that's pretty cumbersome.
You never know. You just got to do it all.
Yeah, better safe than sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When those guys over at REAL spoilers pick that up, I'm going to be pretty pissed. You're right.
Somebody. Oh man, I was so pissed. I was listening to a podcast, and this guy, he was talking about Monster Squad. But he said Monster Squad goals, and I was just like, oh, damn it. Now I can't make that shirt. Like, it's already out in the ether. I can't do it. Damn. All right, that was a good one. Yeah, so he takes it home and he realizes that the brain of this android is still functioning. So he
Well, and
fixes
and technology was better back then. Like,
yeah.
Because this is after...
Oh, yeah, sure, the fall.
After the fall. Right. I'm making air quotes. This is after the fall, so I'm assuming this is like autumn. No, wait, that would be the same thing.
It would be winter.
This would be spring.
No, winter. After the fall.
Well,
would
spring
be winter.
Technically also comes after and before.
That's fair.
Every
that's
season
oh, that's
comes.
True. It is, it's a secular thing.
Yeah, time is a flat circle. Right. And... But yeah, so in that technology isn't as good, and there's
right.
the floating city, and they live where the city like poops on them.
Right.
Yeah. Right below the big poop hole.
Right. It is definitely an anus.
Yeah. Here's like, a big, giant hanging colon from the floating city, taking
occasionally
a giant, just
drops stuff,
giantly just defecates technology right. onto them.
Like, we don't need this old android that's completely functional.
Yeah. Right. Like, we'll just throw it in the pit.
Yeah.
That's
I thought of this as kind of like Hunger Games. I mean,
I was thinking it was like 300. Like that's the oh. end. That's where they go when he kicks
them
in the pit. That's
off,
where
they go.
Yeah.
But I was thinking I still got an hour and 50 minutes of this.
Oh jeez,
it is interesting though.
No,
like,
it's not.
No, I mean like if you look at like the so you had Watchmen, you had 300, you had Sin City, mm-hmm. so you had like these three insanely visual comic book movies. Mm-hmm. And then they stopped doing those altogether. I guess they did The Spirit.
They did
and that
the Spirit,
was awful.
And then they tried to do 300.
Oh, Rise of the Empire. We did an episode of that. Yeah.
And there was a second Sin City.
There was a second Sin City.
That
but
was
just,
awful.
Yeah,
they
it was
tried
awful.
To do that as well. Like,
it,
I think,
it was just yeah. interesting that we had those three movies back to back to back where it was just like, oh, man, is this. Are these the new comic book movies that we're going to get? No.
Lightning
it's not.
In a bottle.
They
you
had,
know? I mean,
yeah.
they each had their thing and they were really good at. What they did, and then it was like,
yeah,
okay. I mean, everything else is a copy of it, and then you know, because that speed up, that ramp up, slow down thing. How many things did that after?
Oh, for sure.
After 300.
Yeah. And, well, wait, was Sin City first? It doesn't matter.
But whatever. I mean, that was the thing.
Yeah, sure.
And then it's like, how many times have we gotten that? So you see how those things people get sick of that. You okay? It's innovative, and then it's worn out.
You know, it's interesting. Like, there's so much buzz. I say buzz. I use the term lightly. Around this Snyder cut. Like, it's getting to the point now where I'm just like,
people
just
are
release
still
it.
Talking about
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because, like, there's.
But it's not. Apparently, it's not done. Like, this quote unquote Snyder cut
is
like,
just like bits and pieces.
It's. Yeah, like, he. Because of the time when he left and all this, like, his vision wasn't even completed. So they say there is no Snyder cut. Like, you would have to
Snyder
go. They have to
just...
go film the Snyder cut to release it.
Knowing Warner Bros. Like, yeah, just do it. Why not? What's the worst that could happen?
They're like, we're on the right track. Aquaman made $1 billion.
Right.
We can't get our Batman movies too, but Aquaman made $1 billion.
It's supposed to. Huh, what,
Wonder Woman is doing quite well.
That
like,
comes out this year.
Yeah,
Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah,
yeah.
So like, let's not go back.
Starring
to,
the Martian Manhunter.
What?
No, I don't. Know.
Oh, you think that's?
No, I really. Oh, there's
okay.
no way.
Okay.
There's no way they're gonna sneak in the Martian Manhunter okay. into this movie.
I feel like they've given up on that. Yeah,
I
it's
think,
not
I
gonna
like,
be a unified thing. We're done.
I don't know. I feel like. I mean, I think they'll make references to other things because Superman's supposed to be in Shazam. Like that's the rumor is he's gonna show up at the end. So
we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But they're like, but not Henry Cavill. And I was like, what is? Then don't do it. Just
yeah.
wait. And then there's the other one that they're going to shelve everything Superman and just be like, here's Supergirl.
Here's the deal. I read a Screen Rant article the other day, and this is pertaining to Star Wars, but there's, I think it's Matt Singer who writes for Screen Rant, and he does some really great articles. He went back and found all the rumors around
Star Wars
Episode 7
yeah.
and all the printed by like big publications you would know,
sure.
websites you would know, all the like, these rumors come from a credible source. The top 50 of them that didn't come true, all 50 did not come true, and they were crazy, bonkers, bananas, and it really shows you to not put much faith
don't
in
ever.
Quote unquote rumors from sources, because it's to if you went based on all these, people were forming all their theories based on these rumors, and they're insane.
Well, I think like, DC should maybe make the movies based off the rumors, because the way they're doing it, it is not working.
Yeah, that could be very true.
So. Yeah. So anyway,
so basically, this guy is a robot doctor. People are augmented. They have mechanical arms, legs, powers. Whatever, not powers, but like powerful upgrades to their body parts. And this guy fixes them. So he's out looking for parts. He also has this body laying around that he was making for his daughter, come to find out later
right.
on, that had passed away. And so he ends up putting the Alita head that he finds.
Well,
into
like the, yeah, like
that
the torso.
Body.
And yeah. The, yeah. And then, so she wakes up and she's got hair now.
We're only at this part.
Yeah. She wakes up and then, so it's like she has no memories of anything. So,
and the weird thing is, he's like, well, you're basically all robot, like all your different parts and stuff. So I don't know why that would affect her brain.
I don't know. But I mean, yeah. I feel like I've seen enough sci-fi movies where like an android took a weird hit to the head. Now they don't remember anything.
Right. I know. But that's like, I don't get that, but okay.
Whatever.
He's like, you're basically nothing left but your head. Okay. So all right. You don't have memories?
No memories. Okay. So he's kind of like reintroducing her to this world. And I do like the scene with the orange.
I love the idea of robot amnesia.
Yeah.
Like robots work the same way as your brain when you get hit in the head. I this is sci-fi. I really enjoyed the movie. I just thought it was funny. Like she lost her memory. Like that's not what
it's not like they control alt deleted her.
Yeah,
brain.
Like your computer boots up or it doesn't. Right. Like you don't.
I mean, you could take out the hard drive and put a new hard drive. Then you have a new computer. Right. But I don't think that happened with Alita.
No, because the memories are still there. It's the same person. She has amnesia.
Right. Okay. Exactly. But yeah, because the memories come back.
Yeah.
Right. So he's kind of showing her around. And this is what Tom was talking about, where it's just like
exposition
dump.
City, yes.
Where he's explaining like the fall and like this city. This was the last of the sky cities, and we're all down here, and nobody ever goes up there.
It's like this is like a post-apocalyptic future, but still very technologically advanced.
Right.
Like post-apocalyptic for 3019, not 2019.
Right, right,
you know?
Right.
Because like people all ride on like gyroscopic one-wheeled motorcycles.
If I could have gotten rid of that,
yeah, it's like 2549 or something.
Right. It's the future, so it's run down, but way past what we have. It's 2546.
That's pretty good for off the top of my head for a movie I didn't care about.
That's true. That kid was the worst part of this movie.
I'm like,
he was terrible.
I'm like, was this Robert Rodriguez Jr. or something? Like, did he get the part because he's
a
nephew? That kid is the worst actor.
I was not a fan of him at all.
I liked it despite his acting, but every time he opened his mouth, I'm like, how did he get hired?
Get away from me.
Yeah, he was bad.
he was real bad.
Really bad.
And I thought this was Steve McQueen, who is like there's a dude out there who I think is like a WB kid. Like he's a CW kid.
Not Steve McQueen.
Yeah. He's Steve McQueen's grandson.
Oh,
legitimately.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's Steve McQueen.
Yeah. Okay. That's Steve McQueen.
Okay.
But he's his grandson.
Yeah.
And I thought this was him, but it's not.
Okay.
Thank God. Man, he was so cool.
Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen.
Not,
like,
this kid.
Not this kid. Like this, the real Steve McQueen was
the
like
Dow of Steve.
Yeah.
That movie?
Yes. With, Donald Loge.
Donald Loge.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's kind of walking around and he sees...
Sorry to interrupt. The other reason why I think this movie is not accessible to mainstream audiences is when they're dropping this exposition and he's like, oh, that was the old legendary martial art of Panzer Kunst, and says it like he's just said,
are we
like,
supposed to know that?
Like this is milk. You know what I mean? Like, like they're dropping things in this world, and they're fast and furious the way they're dropping these lines and these things and with a straight face.
Right.
And I just think mainstream audiences just don't like that.
No, I think this would have been a mainstream hit had they gotten rid of the big eyes, I don't know, if they would have marketed this as like a big ass pre-summer action movie, I think they would have had something.
And but, I think you get rid of those eyes, I think right there people go, well, that looks cool.
Well, and also, I mean, it was getting hammered from Jump Street. Like it was, I don't know, like 2 months from release, and they're just like, this is gonna be the biggest bomb like of the year.
Well, it's not like James Cameron's never overcome that.
That's true. That's fair. With what?
Titanic.
Titanic was supposed to get hammered.
They were calling Titanic fish tar.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And well,
they weren't calling
but Titanic was supposed to tank, pun intended.
Magazines, newspapers, articles came out for months and months, maybe even years in advance, and Titanic was supposed to flop and became the highest-grossing
movie of all time.
True, and this is Cameron producing this, so there's a correlation. But I enjoyed it, but as I'm hearing them drop these terms that... They drop it like it's a part
it's
of their
very nerdy.
It's their world, right? So like, but they're not explaining it, and they drop it as though like we're supposed to get it, but only fans of the comic would know it. So I just think mainstream people are going to go, "What the hell are the Panzer Kunst?"
I think like the advantage that some comic books have
was that the villain in MacGruber.
Yes, it was. Is like you can for non comic book fans, everybody knows the story of Superman.
Right,
planet blows up.
Right,
shot to Earth. Grew up in Kansas.
Right.
Like, that is something that is so accessible at this point that is you could show it on screen and everybody can just accept it.
Yes.
With something like this,
yes,
it is the outlying nerd culture that
Star
knows
Trek
this.
Star Wars,
I would agree.
Star Wars is comic books.
Oh.
And Star Trek is manga.
Okay.
For the mainstream. That's fair. I think that's the easiest correlation. And again, I liked this movie.
Plus, Star Trek comics suck.
I liked this movie and I thought it was cool. And I'm like, wow, I like this world. Like, I want to kind of go read this now. Like, I'm into it.
Comixology, $5 a month.
But I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, God, when your average person.
You know,
sits there and they hear all this stuff. I just think that it goes beyond normal sci-fi.
I think there are things you just can't do and if you want this movie to be a mainstream success, you cannot go like feet first into the nerd of this movie.
And if you do, then you can't make it $170 million budget.
Right.
You got to do maybe an 80 at most.
What was Ghost in the Shell? Was it 100?
I don't think it was anywhere nearly as much as this. I would say around 100.
Okay. So yeah, so he's explaining the world to her. We meet Hugo.
Just lets her go.
He does kind of just let her
go. She just woke up. She has amnesia.
See ya. Good luck, kiddo.
And she instantly gets into trouble, as you'd expect. She almost gets ran over.
Right.
She gets shot by Ed 209. It's good to see him getting work.
I'm glad that the Ed 209 was still around. It was good to see him, honestly. So Hugo kind of shows her Rollerball, which is what this is. Which if you've never seen the James Caan movie, go do that. Don't see the remake starring Chris
Klein.
LL Cool J and Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
Now, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, well, this is Rollerball.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah. So of course,
it's Motorball.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's more futuristic if it's a motor.
But they're on roller skates.
Motorized roller skates.
Here's the problem I had with this. Like, okay.
It was dumb?
It was dumb.
Okay, hold on. This is sci-fi. I mean, the concepts in this I didn't have a problem with as the big picture concepts. But here's all these kids on the street playing motorball, right? And an android can just come in that has super strength and super agility. And then when she eventually goes to join the league, all the people in Motorball are augmented humans. Again, she's an android.
Right. Like, she's not human.
Like, I just feel like she would not be eligible. This is not battle robots or whatever. Like, if any robot could enter, they would make the Ed 209 would be in there with roller skates.
Sure, right,
on.
Right.
Like,
it would be the race in Ready Player One.
Yeah, I just don't understand how she was able to fit in. Like, you guys are all humans with augments. I'm a robot with all these abilities, right.
But whatever. So, I'm the most advanced fighting machine of all time.
Yeah, maybe I don't get it. I just
I
had the same thought. Yeah. And then I nodded off.
So she's the world is explained to her.
She meets the dog. Be her faithful companion for the rest
of the
movie.
Hey, John Wick, what's up?
Okay, what's the deal with people that keep making John Wick over and over again?
I mean, because
are they like
again,
people connect with this?
John Wick, lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
That movie had no business being as good as it was. And now Hollywood, and much like Hollywood does with everything else, you're like, do we got to do it? Like, if they can do it, we can do it.
Well, and it's a pretty cheap movie to make.
It can be, unless you spend $100
But the whole killing the dog thing is so overused and not necessary. I just was like.
We call that in the wrestling world cheap heat.
Yeah.
Right. So
let's give her a reason to get really mad.
Right. What's the worst thing that this guy can do that'll make him the worst possible person? I know. We'll kill a dog.
So we'll get there. But she meets the dog, her faithful companion.
Right. So as she's going through this, we're finding out that Christoph Waltz was married to Jennifer Connelly. Nice to see her. Yep. Glad she's getting a little bit of work. I enjoy Jennifer Connelly. Haven't seen her since Hulk. Probably. I don't know.
Oh, she's been around.
Yeah,
I'm sure she's been working.
Oh, she was the voice of Karen in Spider-Man.
There you go.
Yeah, there it is. So she kind of works for the guy from True Detective and Green Book.
Mm-hmm. Mahershala Ali.
That guy.
I really liked him in this role. This is the role that I've never seen Mahershala Ali in as the cyberpunk bad guy, villain, Neo, whatever you want to call him. You know? And I thought it was cool. I don't know.
He's your Blade.
Yeah, I mean
that dude is Blade.
It's basically Mahershala Ali being Blade. I'm like, that guy's cool.
Yeah, whenever they get around to doing that again, that's the dude you need to get for Blade. Not Sticky Fingers, who was Blade on the TV show for Spike TV. That's a real thing. I'm not making that up.
About that.
Yeah,
can I post this?
Yeah. Oh no. It was he was a rapper. Spike TV.
I just want to make sure we weren't committing a hate crime.
No.
Did he steal other people's rhymes?
He may
is that
have
how he got his name.
That is right. The Sticky Bandits. No, there was a one season Spike TV show that was based a prequel to the movie. Christoph Waltz was building battle bots basically, and he couldn't do it anymore. His daughter is murdered by a guy coming in looking for parts. And I was like, are they going to show this? So his daughter's in a wheelchair. Guy comes in the Christoph Waltz's house and is like going through stuff. Christoph Waltz is like, hey, quit it. And then like the
and
daughter,
she just gets like snatched.
I think she gets run over.
I just saw like the wheelchair shaking and he's out the other door.
She gets run over. Like, okay. Well, so she's in a wheelchair. She kind of wheels around the corner. The dude sees her and like bolts out the door.
Yeah.
And I have to believe she just mauled her over.
Yeah.
You know? So at that point, Christoph Waltz becomes a hunter killer.
Yeah.
Or a hunter.
Hunter killer.
Yeah. Which also.
He's a bounty hunter.
A great comic book by Mark Waid and Mark Silvestri.
But a boring game to have shipped to your house.
Also. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you figure that out?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I quit.
Yeah.
I didn't want to ruin it. Like, I wanted you guys to experience it for yourself.
Yeah,
have you played this?
No, I mean, I saw the
it's
thing
like
come.
One of those, like, murder mysteries yeah. in your house.
But
it's
they give
awful.
You nothing. They give you nothing to go, like, there's they're, no...
Like, there's a story, but they don't tell you what it is.
Yeah.
So you also have to figure out the story as you're figuring out that it's a snooze.
It is a snooze. Okay. It's a sad day because it could have been a lot of fun.
Could have been, but it wasn't.
But it wasn't.
Like this movie.
Yeah. So, yeah. So,
so he's moonlighting. He's a doctor for the good robot augment people.
Right, but
he moonlights as a bounty hunter for
vigilante.
The bad. For the bad,
right?
Not vigilante. He's a deputized officer.
I guess that's
of the
true.
Law,
yeah.
Basically.
Well, he becomes one because his daughter is murdered.
Yeah. So now
he's
going to go
Punisher.
And stop bad
right.
robot augment guys from.
So she kind of there's a scene where we think that maybe he's this murderer mm-hmm. that's been kind of like
it looks
Jack
like
the Ripper kind of.
He
thing.
Looks like he's Jack the Ripper because yeah. he's like a young girl's walking and he's following her with a huge. Freaking sickle
yeah,
right.
You know it's bad when sickle's the better answer to that.
Yeah.
He's following these girls with this huge
what's that thing called?
Sickle.
Yes.
Oh, like, thank God he said sickle.
It's a rocket hammer.
It is a rocket yeah. hammer.
Well, I don't like to brag.
It's like a baby holding an apple. So she kind of follows him, and when we find out that he has been like on the trail of these three robots, she takes out two of them with no problem.
Yeah.
And the third one gets away.
And I thought this was a great action
scene.
It
is a very good action
scene.
I agree.
It's a kick-ass movie. Like
the advantage that I think you have with CG is, again, I had a problem with they were like zooming in on the close cuts. And I was like,
yeah.
dude, you have CG.
Yeah.
Like you can make it however you want. Pull back. Show everything.
Yeah. It
There's
was
no,
a little close.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. The only problem I had in this sequence is it was almost like it was in slow motion. Like they slowed it down and to where I'm thinking, okay, so you've got Christoph Waltz, this like 50-something-year-old guy with this huge hammer thing.
Right.
And he's swinging it so slow. And the first guy that she takes out is like a skinny, like athletic-looking guy
like,
with like
he
knives.
He looked like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah. Okay.
He did.
So it's like, but he would have been able to like,
right,
gut Christoph Waltz in 2 seconds, and so I didn't like the way everything was so slow because I'm like, in real life, there's no way him with his huge hammer. Like, if you play video games, it's like you've got tanks,
sure,
you've got like ninjas, you have
swords,
whatever, and so it's like Christoph Waltz was kind of the tank. He had the huge slow weapon. He's slow,
right?
But if he hits you, it does damage.
It does a lot of damage.
But against a little fast guy, even if you play like Mortal Kombat or
right.
fighting games, you know that if you've got the faster
guy, did you see Ronda Rousey last night?
No.
She came out dressed like Sonya Blade.
I'm not into all that. So I didn't like that it was like it looked cool, but when you thought about why it looked cool, you're
right.
like, that doesn't make sense. But good looking CG and
yeah.
good looking action.
So he takes two of them out. They find out that he's been supplementing the price of the shop with the bounties on these guys. We're learning more and more, and then we find out that they need Alita's heart. And they'll kind of do anything to get it.
Meanwhile, Jennifer Connelly is working with Mahershala Ali guy.
Right.
They own and operate this.
The battle
bots,
basically.
The battle motor ball, whatever bots. And so they have been hiring people to go take
parts.
Champions
yeah.
and steal their parts to make like the ultimate
the big,
killer
big
champion.
Yeah, sure.
And we don't know who is out
yeah.
there
oh,
salvaging.
Oh, we don't? Because I'm pretty sure we knew from Jump Street who
I gotta go. I'll be right back.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we find out that Hugo, who's kind of the love interest, is actually...
Which, the love interest thing... Like, I'm just
okay.
gonna... Look, I'm just gonna put this on Jump Street.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a vagina.
Nope.
Where are we going here?
Oh, no, she has no... Like, it's... She has no...
We see her
any sort of yeah. sex organs
right.
at all.
Like,
I mean, do you just really like hand stuff?
Maybe. And she's a robot. Yeah. Real quick.
I thought about that when I was watching it, and this doesn't even make as much sense as what I'm about to say, but it reminded me of Shape of Water. It's that love transcends whatever. But you're right.
Yeah,
like,
but that
as
guy
much
had
as
a,
I didn't like
a weenie.
Like Shape of Water. At least he had some junk
that's,
going
that's
on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they at least they got it on. But in this one, I had the same thought. I'm just thinking, like, yeah, you fall in love with this robot and you really like each other, but yeah, where's it going to go?
There's no future.
She's basically like a real girl. I mean,
Real girls have parts.
What I mean is that it's just like you love this thing, but you can't procreate. Like, she's always going to be a robot.
Look, even beyond procreating, you can't have any sort of physical interaction with it of a sexual nature.
I guess you could kiss it.
I guess. That seems like that would be worse.
She has a mouth.
Yeah, but I don't know. That probably voids your warranty. Could you spill water on this?
Yeah.
The little
what
dot
happened.
The little dot turned orange. We're pretty sure, and it's supposed to turn red. So we're thinking something white spilled on it.
So it becomes very apparent that Hugo is not the dude that he says that he is, and he's jacking these parts, but he's never killed anybody.
Oh, that's he's jacking the parts.
See, I did that just for
you. Yeah.
This is the thing where you sympathize with your love interest, anti-hero, because he's a bad guy, but he's not that bad of a guy. he's stealing these parts, but only because he wants to be elevated to the floating land.
Zion.
This guy looks like he stepped out of a community theater production of Grease 2. Yeah.
Not even the first one.
No, not even the first one.
And also, he's pretty stupid because he says, "You're the most human person I've ever met." She's a robot. He's lived among humans.
I'm sure his other crew.
Is he a shut-in, maybe?
Yeah, his crew's just like, hey, man.
Yeah, what?
What are you doing?
Like, I get that it's a really cheesy romantic line, but it's like, it's stupid because she's not the most human person.
No.
And she's basically like a newborn. Like, she woke up and doesn't know anything. She doesn't remember anything. So it's like she doesn't understand love. She basically just falls in love instantaneously with this guy.
Right.
Who obviously she doesn't find out what he's really all about.
Then when she does find out, she's like, yeah, but he's still so cute.
Yeah.
Like, there's, I'm just like,
so maybe she is human.
Maybe.
That's totally possible.
Yeah. So she decides that, like, she's getting her memory back and she realizes that she was part of this fight. I guess the fall. She was there for the fall.
She was in the Great War.
War.
She was in the
War of the Colon. They were running up the colon.
to the floating city.
Yeah, they're like little tiny bacteria.
And so she decides to go to this. She becomes a hunter killer as well.
So the whole deal is that she's with her boyfriend and they go out. Also, so there's this ship that people know about with all this super advanced technology,
right,
but no one's rated it yet.
Yeah, they're just like, it's underwater. It's like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Get yourself a breathing device and get your ass down there.
I thought it was a little like Christoph Waltz somehow has never found this, even though he's salvaging parts.
Right.
But anyway, so she goes.
She finds the perfect suit.
She finds like the body with the armor that she's meant to be in. She brings it to Christoph Waltz. He says no, and he knows who she is, and eventually she finds out, and he just says, no, I'm not going to do this. And then she says, I can help you. I can be a hunter killer with you. We can use the money to help this kid and help your shop, whatever. No, I won't let you.
I will say that in Christoph Waltz's defense, he's just like, man, if I put this thing on you, it's bad news bears. Like, we are in trouble. And he does explain. He was like, look, this suit and your brain, when they go together, you will be a killing machine. She was like, let's do it.
But
sign me up.
True to any teenager, though. I mean, she's like, fine. And then just runs away and does it.
I will say, for the advanced nature of her brain, Christoph Waltz is like, okay, bye. Like, there's no urgency on him whatsoever to be like, I should probably keep this under wraps. No. So she goes to this bar, and it's the hunter killer bar, and she kind of tries to enlist all of these people to join her.
She does
the
rally speech.
And everybody's just like, no, how about not? And then there's a giant fight that ensues.
The other problem I have with any movie that does scenes like this is, it's like, who pays for all this damage to this bar?
Nobody.
Like, this guy's out of money. This guy has a business that he runs, and he has a bar that's his livelihood.
And she just turned it into a scene from Hooper.
Yeah. There's no consequence. And so while it was going on, I'm like, okay, kick-ass action scene, yes.
Again, yeah.
But also, like,
collateral damage.
And then plus, like, the bartender, you know that this is the kind of guy where you'd normally see the guy with the shotgun behind the bar.
He, like, also, I think he even says, he's like, hey, yeah, take it outside.
But yeah, but he's also, he's just standing there, like, you watch the fight going on, and right, the bartender's like, kind of just chilling. And
yeah, you're like, don't, can you not tear up my bar?
Unless this is a chain, like, he's franchised.
Right,
the,
right.
This is just a hunter killer franchise.
It's like,
bar.
Yeah, we got another, like, one over in South City. It's fine. Not a big deal. They have, we have insurance.
Yeah.
So if this is where we're introduced to Zapan, who I thought they said Japan. I was like, well, that's kind of on the nose, but all right.
I thought, so this is the bad guy, the big.
Yeah.
Was that Jai? Was one of these,
okay,
people Jai,
yes,
Courtney?
Yes. So there are some weird actors in this movie.
Yeah.
So the dude who was like the Asian, the other hunter killer that's in the,
yeah,
bar.
Oh, like that as a samurai sword.
I recognize that guy.
Is that Jai Courtney? Is that
no, Jai Courtney was the, like, the grand champion of Murder Ball.
He
was in the suit.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I knew I saw Jai Courtney.
And I was just like, oh, it's Jai Courtney.
Okay.
He is who he is. Like, Sam Worthington's pissed.
He was the first champion that we see die. Right?
No. He's the one who's like, when she shows up, when Hugo takes Alita to, yeah, the games for the first time, he's walking through, like, the pit stops.
Yeah, okay.
He's the guy who's like, he's taking his helmet off. He's like, hey, man, like, we got to fix this. I'm leaning to the right. But he's in it for, like, 3 seconds.
And then
we
never saw him again?
Never see him again.
Maybe that's what confused me, because I saw him. And I'm like, okay, he has to be one of these
maybe
other...
Maybe they were laying the groundwork for something. Because clearly...
I think they were.
Because clearly they were going to... The thought was to make more of these movies. That's obviously not going to occur.
Yeah.
But, like, I wonder if that's like, oh, we'll catch
we'll
some
see
kind
him
of
later.
Name actors that we'll, yeah, use in 2 and 3.
Right.
It was
he got
weird.
Billy Dee Williams.
Weird for him to show up for
it was. And I was and Sam Worthington's like, damn it. Yeah. It's supposed to be my career.
Right.
Yeah. So we meet Zapan, who is another guy, an actor who I recognize as well. And then the big robot from the alley fight shows back up, and Alita and this guy fall into the underneath the city, I guess.
Come to my world.
Yeah, and of course we see that he has parts that have been augmented from somebody else.
Yeah, so he's working with Jennifer Connelly and Ali to
jack parts.
Yeah, to take the parts, and they're basically like, you know, don't fail me. Oh, and they're also, the big spoiler is going to be revealed, but there's someone that is able to tap in and control these people through their augments.
Oh man, when they show this it's Ed Norton. When they show him for the first time, I was like, well, that's weird. That guy kind of looks like Ed Norton.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Well, I
was like, why would they cast a guy that looks like Ed Norton?
Oh.
I did that too, but I was like, I'm like, is that Sam Rockwell? I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, who is that?
And then he takes his glasses off. I'm like, oh, what is Ed Norton? Yeah. All right.
I guess Ed Norton ain't complaining about scripts anymore.
I guarantee you he Ooh. Ain't. Can you imagine? Like, that dude was going to be in, like, he was it. Like, yeah, that, they were like, nope, he's our Hulk. And now he ran his mouth, and now he's not the Hulk anymore.
That'll do it.
Terrence Howard.
Same thing. It's man, that's funny. That's two guys who are just like, oh, I'm the lead actor of this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Don Cheadle's like, okay, buddy.
Yep. Yeah. And here's Don Cheadle hosting Saturday Night Live.
That's right. Terrence, what are you doing? Oh, I guess you're on Empire.
Oh.
I guess that's still a show.
So.
Anyway. Yeah.
Okay. But this is another part that weirded me out. So what spurs her into turning into a crazy killer is, like we mentioned earlier, the dog.
So the big bad guy,
the little dog follows them into the bar. When they first enter in there, the big bad guy comes and the dog's barking at him, and he just
squishes the dog,
just steps on it, stomps it, squishes it. She goes psycho. She then goes and puts the dog's blood, puppy blood, on her face as battle
paint.
Like, to
that's
me,
how you know she's a battle angel.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, like, to me, that's not cool. That's gross.
Well, so when they show that scene, I was like, well, that's Christoph Waltz blood. Like, you know, in the trailer, when she's doing it, I was like, okay, like, that's going to be
Christoph.
For
some reason, like, in a movie world, like, human blood is not even as bad. Like, the blood of my enemies is my war paint. But it's a dead puppy.
That's
like,
also
that's
true.
Very
that is
odd.
Pretty gross.
Yeah.
So she goes.
That's why she only has one under each eye, because it's a puppy. There's not much blood.
There's not much there.
Yeah,
what
you
got to
work with what you got.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's still, you know, small.
Yeah.
That fight could have been initiated by him trying to take her in. She says no. Like, the puppy did not have to die.
It's whatever. Yeah. I didn't, you know, it was an ugly puppy.
It was a CGI puppy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, clearly the puppy did not actually die, but I just think it's a dumb, but like, we've seen it. Let's move on.
Right.
Yeah.
So they go down into the underworld. massive fight scene. Again, very cool, very, very well done visually.
He basically ends up like chopping off each of her limbs one by one with all his awesome augments that he has.
And she kind of,
and very cool CGI imagery. So he has chains, like each finger is a chain.
It was well done.
And it spins and she's going through it in slow motion.
It's like Dr. Octahand.
It was, exactly, yeah.
Very cool looking stuff, but he ends up chopping off each limb, but just an arm.
He leaves one arm.
And then she ends up like...
Which I like this scene too. It was kind of cool.
Jabbing her one arm through his eyeball.
And snapping her own arm off.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in this movie that if they weren't like fighting cyborgs, this would be an R-rated movie.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
There were moments like there. I watched a dad bring two kids in to the movie, and the scene where she, I think she drops the F-bomb. Or either way,
once, yeah.
When she jams her arm into his eye and pulls her own arm off, and I was like, that should be interesting. Explain that to those kids. So Christoph Waltz takes the big dude runs away. Christoph Waltz takes the body and realizes the only way to save her is to give her the battle armor, and she does. He does. Everything's fine. It augments itself to make it a little bit sexier, which I thought was weird.
I guess he's like, you're older than I thought.
Yeah, that was the line.
Because he put, it was supposed to be for his younger daughter.
Right.
And so really she's hundreds of years old.
Well, we find that out where Hugo kind of says,
the battle was 300 years.
Right.
Ago,
but And Hugo says, he's like, look, you're from there. You're from up there. Like if he found you in the dump, that's where you came from.
Maybe that armor can make Hugo a
vag.
Yeah, I mean, remember, she says it's nanobots.
That's
right?
True. Yeah,
nanobots
can
do anything.
That's the Well, we don't have to worry about Hugo. So,
I like that we think that we do. Yeah. What a weird thing for them to spend that time on.
I'm sure Christoph Waltz would be like, God damn it,
right? Because I'm thinking from a practical sense, all this time, all this money, all this everything,
right?
But
no, for naught.
Yeah.
She finds out that Hugo is the bad guy. He gets stabbed in the gut.
She ends up trying out for murder ball.
Yeah, while Hugo's getting chased. So he gets set up for a murder by Zapan, because Zapan, who is the bounty hunter from the bar, gets pissed off
she
that Adelita punked him out.
Yeah.
So he kills
another murder ball guy that he was stealing the parts from. And
he's like, I didn't kill anybody. He's like, okay, got it. Sink. Slices his head off. So Hugo gets stabbed as well. Alita takes off from the murder ball tryout, and
another pretty cool scene of her destroying murder ball.
Yeah, like that. Those scenes are fine.
Yeah,
it's the in betweens that could drag and were not.
Yeah, I wasn't invested in those scenes because I was so bored about everything in between.
Sure, makes sense.
I have almost no ability to get invested in an action scene if the things leading up to it are boring.
Which is normally how it is. Like when a movie is all action, it's actually boring because there's not enough actual character development
You don't want all money shots.
Yeah, exactly.
You want a little bit of making out.
But see, with this one, I guess not having read the manga or anything, I was really interested in this world they created, and visual wise I was interested. So like, I don't know, those parts didn't drag for me.
They did for me.
Yeah, I don't know.
For me.
Yeah. I loved
manga
it.
Manga stands for, when James Cameron does it, make anime not good again.
So, I don't know. I really enjoyed it, though. It never dragged, and I totally get that it's not for everybody, but
right.
I don't know.
So, yeah, so she takes Hugo to Christoph Waltz. Christoph Waltz is like, I guess I'll give him a robot body.
Yeah.
So, look, now you guys can't bang at all.
Yeah, like I thought like this is their solution.
Right.
Like now, okay.
They're both robots.
Now you can rub your robot bits together.
Right. Exactly. Oh,
also
make little Roombas.
Yeah, we should mention that so Jennifer Connelly has a change of heart.
Yeah.
Because
she
ends up seeing how much Alita cares for him, and like that body that Alita was originally in was meant for their daughter.
Yeah,
resented.
Yeah, right. Christoph Waltz and Jennifer Connelly were married.
Yeah, so she resented him for using their daughter's body, and she's also obviously the bad guy, but she sees how much they care about one another, so she, being a doctor, is able to cut his head off, but
attach
heart.
It to it. Right. That's right. This is how we lose Zapan.
This is sci-fi.
You know what? If you're going that level with it,
yeah.
I don't care.
I mean,
I'm in for that. So like she shows the hunter killers the head of Hugo. they accept it.
It's a pretty good kill. Zapan's like, no, that's mine.
And then Zapan is killed.
At 209, I think, is like, you're not allowed to take another kill. Yeah. And then she's like, good. And slices
his face off. And I was like, all right, cool. And takes his sword because Zapan's sword was made for her. Like, that was the deal, is that it can connect to her battle suit. Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. It's all very high-tech.
It's very 2016.
Right. It's Bluetooth 5.0 by now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the difference.
So, she, you know, Hugo goes, and then Alita decides, I'm gonna take him out. I'm going to take out Ed Norton and Ali. So, while she's doing that, Hugo decides, he's like, I'm out of here, and starts running up the
colon.
One of the, like, you know, strands to the colon, you know. And Alita's like, you know, don't do this, just come back with me. And
I like this idea, and I am sure it's from the manga as well, but like, I like the idea that there's tunnels that connect the lower to the different, like, levels of the worlds, but then it's like, well, yeah, people could climb on the outside, so they have these huge rings that, and they, like, call them security
razor rings.
Yeah, that, so it's like, if anyone tries to get on
like my version better than security rings. That just sounds
So the people that are monitoring security for up top, they can send these down, and it just totally destroys anyone. So he, as he's climbing up the thing, is like, it looks like he's gonna do a cool slow motion jump over it.
Nope.
But it catches him and cuts him into like six pieces or something. Yeah, and this is after he's just been completely repaired,
right?
And we think that he's going to be okay.
On. So she clears it, but like catches him in the process, and of course he's like, "Nope, I'm good." And like his arm snaps off.
Well, no, I mean, I think he would have been saved if he could, but he was like made out of junky parts,
right?
Like,
right.
You know,
so his arm snaps and he falls and he's dead. We lose Hugo. So Alita goes to Ali. And just, I mean, smokes the big guy. The big guy shows back up.
Yeah.
And she just, like, so it's been a progress. Like, she barely gets away the first time from the big guy. She doesn't get away the second time and gets the new body. And then the third go around completely guts him.
She's mad now.
Yeah, just splits him in half and game over. Ali kind of, like, tries to beg her off, and she's having none of it. And then the Ed Norton character can, like, take over people's bodies, and their eyes will glow blue when you realize that he has taken over. So they have a confrontation, and she kills Ali without, you know, he's like, you know,
like, I killed one of your puppets.
I think he says, don't kill the messenger.
Yeah.
And kills him. And then the last scene is kind of like, we go back to this levitating world, and the main guy, like, lifts his glasses up, and I was like, oh, it is Ed Norton. Yeah. All right. Well, good for him. And that's kind of how it ends.
Hopefully he got a pay or play deal.
Yeah, no kidding.
On Alita Battle Angel 2.
And that's kind of how it ends. It definitely sets it up for a sequel.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. Unless it gets bailed out by overseas.
No, I heard that it tanked in China.
Oh,
really?
I thought that's where it tanked, but somewhere that they were banking on, like, it tanked hard.
Okay. Man, well, that's the way it crumbles sometimes.
Right now, as of this recording, and that's not even with the four-day estimates. I think it's just three-day. It has 43 million domestic, 94 million overseas, so 137 million on a 170. And then if it tanked, then it probably isn't going to make too much more. So,
you know, I wonder if the thing with her eyes was, they've taken so much heat for whitewashing.
Maybe.
That they were like, let's CGI it and make it look just like the book.
Yeah.
Like, if they gave her, like, you know, white people.
Totally.
Eyes,
they would have said, oh, you've changed the character.
Then it's like, you CGI'd it, but you still whitewashed it.
Right.
Like, this, I mean, as much as people are like, what's up with the eyes, nobody's having the complaint about whitewashing the character.
That's true.
Yeah. And
that's
the
true.
Thing is that this takes place in the U.S., so it's not, there is no whitewashing in this movie.
Oh, does it?
It does.
Yeah, this is the U.S.
Oh.
Was there a way I would have known that?
They tell you at some point in the movie, but even doing the research before I saw it, they said that it took
place.
Does
the comic take place in the U.S.?
It can't.
I think so.
Really?
The story takes place in the former U.S. According to a map, it's near Kansas City, Missouri. And the necropolis is Colorado Springs, Colorado. So, yeah, I mean, it's...
Huh.
I don't know. I've never read the manga, but this takes place in the U.S., so there's no whitewashing, and you get a lot of different, like, the people on the street that she interacts with are all sorts of different races, and, you know, there's no...
Kansas City changes a lot.
No kidding.
Well,
yeah.
500
We're
years,
screwed.
Yeah. Oh, we won't be around 500
oh,
years.
That's true.
So
yeah, that's fair.
Fine.
But yeah, you know, honestly, if you want to see it, wait. You know, go read the book.
I saw this in IMAX 3D, and I thought it was awesome looking. I would recommend if you like manga and sci-fi and anime, and you love action, I think this really benefits from the big screen and the 3D. If that's not your jam, then maybe check it out. But like,
right.
If you're into this kind of thing, like, it's a kick-ass movie. Like, the visuals are really good, and I don't know. I thought it was great on the big screen.
Yeah,
I don't think this would have been as cool and not 3D at home.
I thought the
seats
were a lot more comfortable to sleep in.
That's
just... yeah, because it reclined, had a little heat thing going on.
I didn't have a little heat thing on mine.
At first, I thought I had gas. Turns out it was one of the heated
seats. I didn't realize that there were levels. So like, mine was set to high. I was like, God damn it, this thing is hot.
You're like, am I going through menopause?
And then I realized I was like, oh, I have it all the way up. All right, never mind. But yeah, honestly, I will always champion the books. Like, just go read some comics, and like I said, Comixology, you get a free month. It's linked up through Amazon, and for I think it's $5 a month, they give you a bunch of books for free, and the first for sure the first volume, maybe the second volume, are free.
Comixology is there's a lot of books you can read with your subscription, so it's not even like you get $3 a month. Like, you get like 15,000
it's ridiculous.
It's
the
like
amount of
a
stuff.
Huge subscription.
Yes, it's huge.
It's like Marvel has Marvel Unlimited, which I've had since it started, and I mean, there's so many great books they're adding all the time. It's not the super new stuff, but they do eventually funnel in.
Right.
But then Comixology, then you get, you know, it's non-Marvel stuff. So, it, you know, if you like comics, that's a great way to get started.
Yeah, I highly
not
recommend
have to go
it.
Spend a ton of money on back issues.
Right. So go do that.
Awesome. Well, I guess that's it for this one.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like good. Okay, bad. It's interesting with the three.
Yeah. I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find
them. This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And if you want to continue the conversation online, if you have thoughts on Battle Angel Alita, Battle Angel, join the official discussion thread when we post the episode. We'd love to hear from you. That's over at facebook.com/realspoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Happy Death Day to you.
And to you.
And
well.
To you as well.
Oh, thank you.
So until next time, Rodney gives Herb a trombone.
No way.
It's Monday 18
again.
I was stuck reliving the same day.
I thought I ended the loop, but he's back. This time, the killer is coming after all of us.
If I die again, I could stay dead.
Who are you?
Rated PG-13.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.